This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي أما بعد. All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there is no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah, and I testify that all the Prophets and Messengers that Allah had sent to mankind are all the Prophets and Messengers of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent thousands of Prophets and Messengers, but Allah had made mention of 25 in the Holy Quran. One of, if not the most mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem, is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah that we started speaking about last Thursday, and that's Prophet Musa. Musa alayhi salam is, without a doubt, the most mentioned Prophet and Messenger in the Quran al-Kareem. And obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned him for a reason. Some of the reasons that the scholars had mentioned, and these are just derivations, opinions of scholars, but obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the primary reason or the ultimate reason or the main reason why he mentioned Musa. But one of the reasons that the scholars mentioned, that why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala focused a lot in mentioning the story of Musa alayhi salam in the Quran al-Kareem, and why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Musa and the nation of Musa more than any other nation, because there's a lot of similarities between the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the nation of Musa. Something for us to reflect upon. So that's one of the reasons. And the reason I mentioned that, of course, just to be clear about it, this is just an opinion. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say it. Maybe some of the Sahaba mentioned it, but I have no quotes of that. Allah didn't mention why he mentioned the story of Musa alayhi salam. But these are some of the derivations. These are some of the conclusions of the scholars. Why Allah had mentioned the story of Musa alayhi salam more than any other prophet and messenger, because there's some similarities, maybe there's a lot of similarities between the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the nation of Musa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us an example of Bani Israel and the prophet and messenger Musa alayhi salam, for us to reflect upon the nation of Musa alayhi salam, Bani Israel. Whatever good they did, we do. Whatever bad they did, for us to keep away from. And obviously one of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeated the mentioning of Musa alayhi salam in the Quran al-Kareem to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in particular during the era, during the phase of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Mecca before the migration, because of patience. Patience with people. When you talk about the story of Musa alayhi salam, what Musa alayhi salam had encountered from his people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just reminding the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam that what you are encountering and experiencing from your people, prophets and messengers before you experienced that. It comforts the listener, it comforts the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That's why most of the stories of the prophets and the messengers in the Quran al-Kareem were revealed before the migration. Before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Medina, and that's why they call them the Makki verses, to comfort the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It conforms, it fits in, it's suitable for any time, of course, but it's more suitable for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to hear the stories of the past when he is encountering a lot of hardships, a lot of challenges from his people, than when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in a state of strength. And we spoke about the story of Musa alayhi salam, and we said Musa alayhi salam is one of the children of Bani Israel. And we said that Bani Israel, after they migrated from Palestine to Egypt, and they were under the reign or under the leadership of Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam was very respected in Egypt. Yusuf alayhi salam had a lot of advantages in Egypt. He had a lot of influence in Egypt. So his family, Bani Israel, in which Yusuf alayhi salam is also from the children of Israel, they had a lot of influence in Egypt. They had a lot of respect in Egypt. They had a lot of advantages and privileges in Egypt. Until Yusuf alayhi salam passed away, then few kings along the course of time came, and then they enslaved Bani Israel and treated Bani Israel as the lowest class. In which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, جَعَلَ أَهْلَهَا شِيَعَ. He divided them in class. The Coptics, the original residents of Egypt, the high class, and Bani Israel, the lowest class. To the extent, the other slaves. So Bani Israel are the slaves of the Egyptians. And we mentioned How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared Musa alayhi salam, and one of the preparations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared Musa alayhi salam, that Fir'aun. And what's Fir'aun? Fir'aun is a taru, not a name. It's a taru. A taru of the king of Egypt. Fir'aun saw in his dream at that time that a severe and a huge fire coming from Palestine to Egypt that destroyed his kingdom and empire. It was interpreted later on that someone from Bani Israel, maybe the savior, the awaited man, whatever you want to call him, someone from Bani Israel will come and destroy your nation. So he started to kill all the baby boys from Bani Israel. But then they came to their senses and said, if you're going to kill all the baby boys after 20, 30 years, we're not going to have any more slaves. We need slaves. So I start to kill 1 year, and 1 year, no. 1 year, yes, 1 year, no. The year that he wasn't killing anyone, Harun alayhi salam was born. The year that he was killing Musa alayhi salam was born. And I said, I've researched this. Most narrations say that Harun was older than Musa. But the Ra then come back to me and say to me, Wallah, one of my mashayikh, one of the people that was listening on YouTube said, Harun was younger. Yes, I've also read that one. But regardless, older or younger, without a doubt, who's got a senior status? Who's got more senior status? Musa or Harun? Without a doubt, Musa. It's even clear in the Quran. So Musa is more senior than Harun. Whether Harun was born before Musa or after Musa, that doesn't matter. But from my research, from my personal research, I've picked up on the two narrations that more narrations narrate that Harun is older than Musa. But nevertheless, okay, just to be clear about those things. Now, the year that Fir'aun was killing the baby boys of Bani Israel, that's the year that Musa alayhi salam was born in. And we mentioned that amazing story, like subhanAllah, even though I read it and I've read it so many times, but from last Thursday to this Thursday, like, you know, 7 days, 7 nights, I mean, just thinking about the powerful iman and yaqeen that the mother of Musa alayhi salam had. وأوحينا إلى أم موسى أن أرضعيه فإذا خفت عليه فألقيه في اليم ولا تخافي ولا تحزني إنا رادوه إليك وجعلني من المرسلين. سبحان الله. The mother of Musa was so concerned, she was petrified over her son. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أوحينا, which means revealed, but to her inspired. Not a revelation of prophecy, but you know when Allah guides you, you know, out of nowhere, you get that sense where Allah tells you, God, this way, or some guidance tells you that way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided the mother of Musa alayhi salam to breastfeed him. And when she becomes too petrified, scared and concerned over him, to put him in a chest and to cast him in the river. And that's it, leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي. Like, you know, to me, when I stop at this verse, don't be afraid and don't be concerned. What do you mean don't be afraid and be concerned? Like, you know, when you really think about it, Allah is saying, go and put him in a chest, cast him in a river, and that's it. But what do you mean that's it? Don't be scared. But yeah, Allah, what do you mean I don't get scared? Like, of course I'm scared. Don't be concerned. Of course I'm concerned. You know what? Allah wants to teach us something. When you rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why should you be scared? When you are with Allah azza wa jal, why should you be concerned? It's all about that yaqeen. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna radduhu ilayk." We're going to return him back to you. How? Logically, no way you could even think about it. But everything is possible with Allah. The one that destroyed empires with one soldier can do whatever he wants. وَجَاعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. On the top of all this, we're going to make him to be a prophet and messenger. SubhanAllah. But sacrifice that little sacrifice. You know, from the outskirt, from the outside, like when you really look at it, say like, I can't do that. If I'm a father, and I get this revelation where, you know, I'm in this predicament, and, you know, just put your son in a chest and just throw him in the ocean, throw him in the sea, or throw him in the river. I'll struggle to do that. Maybe after the grow up, maybe, yes. But not in the state of being a baby. I'll struggle to do this. I'm a man, you're a man. Yes, we talk about, this is a woman. She's the one that fell pregnant. She's the one that carried him. She's the one that went through the contraction pains. And she's the one that delivered that. On the top of all that, go and put him in a little box and just put him in the river. You know, we hear those stories, but sometimes we don't look into the depth of the sacrifice. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna radduhu ilayk." We're going to return him back to you. How? If he's going to go in that river, he's going to go. He's not going to come back. Not only that, we're going to make him from the messenger, but sacrifice. And that's what Islam is about. Small sacrifices, but huge rewards in return. Little sacrifices, big rewards in return. So that's exactly what the mother of Musa alayhi salam did. She put him in a little chest, and then she cast him in that river. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, وَقَالَتْ لُخْتِي قُصِّي. Musa alayhi salam had an older sister. So now this is 100%, she's an older sister. Okay, there's no disagreement over that one. There's disagreement over Harun before or after Musa. But here the Quran says, and the mother of Musa told his sister, قُصِّي, follow his traces, which means follow him in the river. And she did. So the young daughter of the mother of Musa, who is the sister of Musa alayhi salam, followed Musa alayhi salam after the mother. She was so brave enough to put him in that chest and cast him in that river, and then the river flowed and took Musa alayhi salam. Where did that river take Musa alayhi salam? To the place that the mother of Musa is trying to protect Musa from. And that's the house of Fir'aun. Subhanallah. And then on the top of all this, what does Allah say to her? Don't be scared. What do you mean don't be scared? Subhanallah, with Allah, you should never ever be scared. This is what you call yaqeen. This talk, but this action. This talk, but this submission. This is what you really call yaqeen. On the top of all what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told her, put him in a chest, cast him in a river, don't be scared, don't be concerned. On the top of all her concern and fear, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes Musa alayhi salam in that chest, in that river, all the way to Fir'aun. The very same person that she's trying to protect Musa alayhi salam from. And then that chest arrives to the shore of the palace of Fir'aun. Now Fir'aun was married to a righteous woman, her name is Asiya. Some narrations said that she was also from Bani Israel. She was a righteous woman, she was a believer, and she was forced to marry him. Some narrations. When I say some narrations, that means it's not Quran, it's not Hadith. Narrations. You want to believe it, believe it. You don't want to believe it, don't believe it. It doesn't really mean anything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by His decree, He took that chest that this little baby boy, Musa alayhi salam, is in that river, right to the shore of the palace of Fir'aun. The maids and the soldiers and the workers in the palace of Fir'aun picked up that chest, opened it. Wow, baby boy. But you know what? Bani Israel had a certain color. They were more tan. You know, when you see a boy, like a dark boy, you know that he's not from Europe. You'll say he's probably from Africa, for example. A tan boy, you say he's from Asia. Like, you know, brownish, he's from the Middle East. Like, you know, these are known things. No discrimination, of course. There's no difference between black or white, only in taqwa. But Bani Israel, they had more of a dark or tan color. So when they opened that chest, they've realized, you know what? This baby has resemblance of Bani Israel. Fir'aun wasn't happy about it. But subhanallah, there's one thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put in Musa alayhi salam. Any woman that will see Musa alayhi salam as a baby, she becomes captivated to that baby. Subhanallah, Allah azza wa jalla put that captivation. It's like, you know, the attraction. That baby was taken to the wife of Fir'aun, Asiya. When she looked at this baby, she became so captivated to that baby. On top of all this, she was barren. She never felt pregnant. She's been longing for a child. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed her of this child, that not only it's a baby boy, but also captivated. Cute. She loved him. But Fir'aun didn't like it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, فَالْتَقَطَهُ آلُ فِرْعَوْنَ لِيَكُونَ لَهُمْ عَدُوًا وَحَزَنًا. Who picked him up? The family of Fir'aun. In which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِيَكُونَ لَهُمْ عَدُوًا وَحَزَنًا. For this child to become their enemy later on. Now Fir'aun doesn't know this. On the top of this enmity, Allah is going to make Musa alayhi salam grow in the household of Fir'aun, and he's going to become his later on grief. Look, Allah's decree and preparation. Amazing. Allah's decree and preparation. At the end of the day, from the outside, from the face value, it doesn't add up. This guy is going to be, this baby is going to grow up in the household of Fir'aun. He's going to become Fir'aun after Fir'aun. No. This is how you look at it from the outside. But Allah plans something different from the inside. And that's where your taqwa comes in. وَقَالَتْ إِمْرَأَةُ فِرْعَوْنَ قُرَّةُ عَيْنٍ لِي وَلَكَ. Don't kill him. I love this child. I love this baby. My heart is so captivated. قُرَّةُ عَيْنٍ. My eyes are so captivated. So attracted. So captivated to this child. Don't kill him. لا تقتلوه. Thank عسى أن ينفع. Maybe we'll benefit from him. Maybe we use him to be a slave later on. أو نتخذه ولدا. We'll take him as an child. وهم لا يشعرون. Without people noticing. Without people knowing. Why? Because this child, like, she's been longing for a child for a very long time, and it's not a good custom back then that you've got a senior hierarchy family that didn't have kids. People look down at them. Where's your kids? Back then in that culture. Even in a tribal culture, even amongst Arabs, when they don't have, if there's a husband and wife, this couple, and they don't have kids, people question, you know what's going on here? So people, obviously, from the culture of it, it seems that people were looking down on Fir'aun and his family because they don't have any kids. So she said, let us embrace him and take him and adopt him as our own child and let people know that this is our own child. Not only that we'll have a child in our life, but also people stop talking without them noticing. But subhanAllah, who's devastated? Who's devastated? The mother of Musa alayhi salam. وَأَصْبَحُ فُؤَادُ أُمِّ مُوسَى فَارِغًا. The heart of the mother of Musa alayhi salam. She became so devastated. She couldn't sleep. She had sleepless nights thinking about her child that she put in that chest and she threw him in the river. It's not an easy gesture. It's not an easy move. It's not an easy thing for you to do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَصْبَحَ فُؤَادُ أُمُّ مُوسَى فَارِغًا. Even the wordings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using, the heart of the mother of Musa had nothing in her heart except Musa. خلاص, she can't think of anything else. She can't work. She can't sit down. She's only thinking of Musa, 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 Musa. Where's Musa? إِنْ كَادَتْ لَتُبْدِي بِهِ لَوْلَا أَرَّبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا. Like she was about to explode and just scream and say, where's my son Musa? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَوْلَا أَرَّبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا. If it wasn't for us to contain her. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her that cancelling support. Allah gave her that help. It's not an easy thing. Like, you know, it's a very difficult, challenging moment. She was about just to start speaking about Musa and disclose her secret. In which what happens in return, her son will be killed and she'll be killed. لَوْلَا أَرَّبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا. Allah says, we contained her. We contained her. There's a brother sitting at the back and told me this car's blocking other cars. So can you please, if you blocked any car, go and move your car. And if you have kids, keep them next to you. Thank you very much. لَوْلَا أَرَّبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. If it wasn't for us to contain her and comfort her heart and for her to be from amongst the believers. Now, Musa alayhi salam is in the palace of Fir'aun. Baby. Obviously he's a baby. This baby needs shelter. He's got it. Needs comfort. He's got it. But he needs to eat. He needs to suckle. The wife of Fir'aun, she doesn't have any milk in her breast. She hasn't even given birth. So what did she do? She started to find and look for witnesses. He's willing to suckle my son. They brought witnesses from all around. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَحَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِ الْمَرَاضِعِ. Allah's decree that Allah did not allow Musa alayhi salam suckle from any breast from any woman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted it this way. Tens will come into the palace. Like, you know, what an honor. Anyone would like to be in the palace of Fir'aun and to suckle, to give, to breastfeed the son of Fir'aun, because it's considered now to be the son of Fir'aun. But subhanallah, no honor, no privilege was given. وَحَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِ الْمَرَاضِعَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. So who comes in? The sister of Musa. She's fallen him. She's been following his traces. So the sister of Musa alayhi salam, she heard what's going around. You know, she's seeing all those witnesses, breastfeeding mothers walking in and out. What's going on here? It looks like that this child is about to die and is refusing every breast. فقالت هل أدلكم على أهل بيت يكفلونه لكم وهم له ناصح. Brother, can you please take care of your son, please? Jazakallah khair. Another car. Thank you very much. Alhamdulillah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَحَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِ الْمَرَاضِعَ مِنْ قَبْلِ فَقَالَتْ هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَيْتٍ يَكْفُلُونَهُ لَكُمْ وَهُمْ لَهُ نَاصِحُونَ. So the sister of Musa alayhi salam comes in and says, I'll guard you to a woman, a witness, a breastfeeding mother. No child had ever rejected her breast. Now it just start to become sus. Like, you know, the mother of Musa, okay, but that's not something that you want to disclose because she'll be in trouble and her son will be in trouble because this is supposed to be a lost child that someone found him. So they said, okay, what guarantees do you have that this child that's refused all those breasts, he's not going to refuse the breast of this lady? She says, no, I guarantee him because I've experienced that lady. I've experienced this lady. So many children in the past, every single child that came to this lady, he accepted her breast. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does he say? Okay. The mother of Musa alayhi salam, she's devastated waiting for that moment that her child comes back to her for Allah to fulfill his promise. And the wife of Fir'aun accepts. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَرَدَدْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أُمَّهِ. We brought him back to his mother. Subhanallah, Allah fulfilled his promise. But he left his mother with fear. He came back to his mother with security. Rabbak, Allah. Look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mother of Musa alayhi salam cast him in that river with fear and concern. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings back that baby a few days later with full respect and honor, security and safety, all yours. And the one that you're running away from and trying to hide your kid, you're trying to hide your baby from, is the one now that's protecting your baby. Rabbil Alameen, Allah. Subhanallah. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works in mysterious ways. You know, if you want to plan something like this, you want to orchestrate something like this, not in a million years, you'll succeed. Not in a million years, you'll succeed. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plans, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of planners. فَرَدَدْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ كَيْ تَقَرَّ عَيْنُهَا وَلَا تَحْزَنُ. We brought him back to his mother so she could be happy and satisfied and not to be concerned. وَلِتَعْلَمْ أَنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٍ. And for her to know what Allah had promised, Allah had fulfilled, Allah had delivered. Go and cast him in that river, in that chest, we'll bring him back to you. Subhanallah, you think, she had that full yaqeen. She's a believing woman. But when you think about it, when you think about it logically and rationally, that's it, this child is gone forever. He's not going to come back. No way you think about it. What's the percentage of this child? You put yourself in her position. You put your son or your daughter or your baby in that chest and you put him in that river. What's the percentage of this child coming back? 0.01%. But with Allah, it's 100%. فَرَدَدْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ كَيْ تَقَرَّ عَيْنُهَا وَلَا تَحْزَنْ وَلِتَعْلَمَ أَنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٍ. For her to know that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfills his promise. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Most people don't know. Most people don't know. Now where's Musa? He's in the household of Fir'aun under the care of his own mom. Biological mom. To the extent that after Musa alayhi salam was brought back and returned back to his mother, straight away he grabbed that breast and suckled on it. Subhanallah, days he's refusing all the breasts. So the wife of Fir'aun offers the mother of Musa. She doesn't know that's a mother of Musa. They were just shocked. She said, come to my palace and come and live under my care in my palace. I'll take care of you. Just take care of my son. Your son? You want to tell me that's your son? Okay, no worries. Come into my palace. Come and live under my care. Live in my beautiful mansion. So the mother of Musa will reply and say, no, I can't. I've got kids. I've got family. I've got a husband. I can't. So what did they do? They facilitated and accommodated her. They'll bring Musa alayhi salam to the mother, to the original mother of Musa alayhi salam during the day, and then they come and take him back at night. Lives in the palace of Musa and in the care of the mother of Musa, lives in the palace of Fir'aun and comes under the care looking after or under the care or being taken care of by his mom during the day. Subhanallah. And now Musa alayhi salam grows up. Now obviously there are narrations, and logic when you think about it, sooner or later Musa knew he's his mom, because that's his breastfeeding mother. She's the one that took care of him when he was young. Musa knew at the end of the day, even when he was young, he knew what's going on. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preparing him for something. So he grew up in the household of Fir'aun, but under his faith, under his mom, under his mother. So Musa alayhi salam grew up as a believer, as a Muslim. Because yes, he's living in the household of Fir'aun, but don't forget, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returned him back to his mother. So his mother took care of him. Not only she breastfed him, but she also took care of him. She brought him up as a believer. And Musa knew who's his mom, and Musa knew what's his religion, and he knew everything. But didn't disclose that he stayed. He stayed in the palace of Fir'aun. And you could imagine Musa alayhi salam growing up in that palace. And which palace? Fir'aun, one of the most powerful people on the face of this earth back then. In the care of Fir'aun, but under the faith of his original parents. And now Musa alayhi salam is a prophet, a messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preparing him for the prophecy. So obviously he wasn't a prophet, a messenger when he was young, but Allah's preparing the best of people. So he had the best of qualities. He had the best of characteristics. He had good traits in him. He was a wise man, respectful man, a young man, switched on, a man with ethics and morals. It's not like those prophets and messengers are a bunch of thugs and gangsters. Then they just find their way and Allah chooses them. It doesn't work that way. Allah chooses the best of people to be the best of people. So Musa alayhi salam, yes, when he was in the household of Fir'aun, he wasn't a prophet and messenger, but Allah's preparing him for the prophecy and messenger, for the prophecy and messengerhood. So obviously, he was a good man, wise man, respectful man, honorable man, well-mannered man. And Musa alayhi salam grows up in that household until he reaches the teenage years. Musa alayhi salam became the second in charge in the palace of Fir'aun, which means he was second in charge in Egypt. The Egyptians, including Fir'aun, never digested him because he looks like from Bani Israel, like the color of his skin, his facial resemblance, he looks like from Bani Israel. There was always that doubt about Musa alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَاسْتَوَى آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. When Musa alayhi salam had reached the age of puberty and he became strong and fit, آتَيْنَا حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا, we gave him wisdom, we gave him knowledge. So you could imagine Musa alayhi salam before the prophecy, by the age of 18, 19 years old, teenage youth years, Musa alayhi salam was wise and knowledgeable. He was respected. He wasn't a loose cannon or a thug or a troublemaker or a menace. No, he was حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا وَكَذَلِكَ نَزِّلْ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he had wisdom, he had knowledge. He was from amongst the righteous people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to test him. But that test is preparation. That test is what? Yes, it's test. It's a predicament. It's a challenge. It's a difficulty. It's hardship. But it's also preparation. It's all part of that preparation. وَدَخَلَ الْمَدِينَةَ عَلَى حِينِ غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. Now the big test comes. One day, during midday, where in their culture, people during midday, they go to sleep. People go to sleep. You know, Arabs, even till this day, some countries, like they work from 11 to 12, then they take a break from 12 to 4, then they go back to work 4 to 6. MashaAllah, very hard working people. Not all, of course, anyway. So it's still in their culture where people sleep at midday. What we know is Qaylula. And even the Coptics and the Egyptian people, even Bani Israel, they had that culture where midday, because it's hot, people don't want to work under the hot sun. So they go and rest, take shelter, and then they come out after Asr, for example, or in the late afternoon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this incident. which is a big test for Musa alayhi salam, but it's preparation for the prophecy. وَدَخَلَ الْمَدِينَةَ عَلَى حِينِ غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. He entered the city, which is the city that Musa alayhi salam was living in, during a moment where most people were asleep, resting, or at least taking shelter, taking cover. فَوَجَدَ فِيهَا رَجُلَيْنِ يَقْتَتِلَانِ هَذَا مِنْ شِعَتِهِ وَهَذَا مِنْ عَدُوِهِ. During that time, which is during the middle of the day, where most people are in their homes, most people are sleeping, most people are resting, and most people are not on the street, are not on the road, not in the public. He walked through the city during that time. There were two men fighting, about to bash each other. One is from the Coptics, the other is from Bani Israel. Now the word was spread around amongst the Egyptians and amongst the Israelis that, you know, this man who is second in charge, who is the son of Pharaoh, he's not from the Coptics, he's from Bani Israel. So the word is there, people were talking about it, because you're talking about a prominent figure. He's like the son of the king. So people knew him, Musa alayhi salam, and Bani Israel amongst themselves in their circle, they knew that this man is from us. And the people from the Coptics, they also knew that this person is not really from us. We're talking about classes here. But at the end of the day, he's the son of Pharaoh. Whether you like or not, he's a man of authority. He's a man of advantages. He enters the city during that time where the streets are empty. But there were two men. One from Bani Israel, the other one from the Egyptians, from the Coptics. They were fighting. They were about to bash each other. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْتَغَاثَهُ الَّذِي مِنْ شِيَعَتِهِ عَلَى الَّذِي مِنْ عَدُوَّهِ فَوَكَزَهُ مُوسَى فَقَضَى عَلَيْهِ. The one from Bani Israel that was fighting against the Coptic, he called upon Musa alayhi salam for help and support. So Musa alayhi salam intervened, but he intervened to stop the fight. But Musa was a tough bloke, he was a tough man. And some narrations even say he had the strength of 10 men. He pushed the Coptic away from the Israeli, but that push ended him, finished him. He pushed the Coptic away from the Israeli, he ended him, he finished him off. He was gone. Miskin, his hand was like a bulldozer. Killed him. Musa alayhi salam didn't intend for that. Musa alayhi salam didn't plan for that. What Musa alayhi salam was planning for is to push the Egyptian away from the Israeli. And obviously, the Egyptian, in his view, he's the superior one to the Israeli, because the Israeli is a slave to him. So he had a bit of the advantage. He already had that moral advantage, or not moral advantage, that motivation. He had that mentality. In his sight, it's a moral advantage, but it's not really a moral advantage. But that's how he looked at it. And that's why Musa alayhi salam, straight away, he ran and pushed the Egyptian away from the Israeli, but that push finished him, killed him, unintentionally. فَوَكَزَهُ مُوسَى فَقَضَى عَلَيْهِ. So Musa alayhi salam was shocked. And what's the proof and evidence that Musa alayhi salam didn't intend to do that? He said, هَذَا مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ عَدُوٌ مُضُلٌ مُبِينٌ. When Musa alayhi salam pushed the Egyptian, he pushed him away from the Israeli and he killed him, Musa alayhi salam was shocked and he said, this is the action of the shaitan. So it wasn't planned by Musa alayhi salam to kill him, nor that Musa alayhi salam intended to kill him. And that's why Musa alayhi salam straight away repented and he said, هَذَا مِنْ عَمْلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. This is the action and the act of the shaitan. إِنَّهُ عَدُوٌ مُضُلٌ مُبِينٌ. See what the shaitan made me result to? Because some people might interpret and say, Musa alayhi salam, like he pushed him and he meant to kill him. No, he didn't. And that's why he repented to Allah Azza wa Jalla. He knew. He just pushed him, but subhanAllah, unplanned push, accidental push that killed him. Keep in mind, he was very strong. قَالَ رَبِّي إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي فَغْفِرْ لِي. He straight away repented to Allah and said, Ya Allah, I had oppressed and transgressed against myself. So forgive me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his repentance because it was sincere and genuine. However, his repentance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala straight away said, فَغَفَرَ لَهُ. Straight away Allah forgave him. Guaranteed. Because it was sincere about it. Not because his name is Musa. And not because Allah is preparing him for the prophecy. And not because, wallah, he's from Bani Israel. Because he was genuine. He was sincere about his repentance. The man did not mean it. And straight away repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, فَغَفَرَ لَهُ. In Arabic, fa means straight away Allah forgave him. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah is the most forgiving, the most merciful. قَالَ رَبِّ بِمَا أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ فَلَنْ أَكُونَ ظَهِيرًا لِلْمُجْرِمِينَ. And he asked Allah, he said, Ya Allah, this power, this strength, this physical strength that you had bestowed upon me, I will never ever let any oppressor or any disbeliever or any criminal or any disability take advantage of it. SubhanAllah, genuineness. You know, these days when someone is big and strong, it becomes a bully. They take advantage of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them. You see someone who's smaller to you in size or weaker to you in personality, straight away take advantage of them. And look at Musa alayhi salam says, Ya Allah, what you had given me, this physical power and materialistic power, because he's considered to be the son of Fir'aun, who's the second most powerful man in Egypt, I will never allow people who are criminals, disobedients, disbelievers, sinners to take advantage of this. The only thing that I allow to take advantage of this is my religion. SubhanAllah, taqwa. Taqwa. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you stronger than someone else, don't go and bully someone else. But be support for those who have been oppressed. Don't be the oppressor. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given you financial advantage over other people, don't go and enslave other people. SubhanAllah, look at Musa alayhi salam. قَالَ رَبِّ بِمَا أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ فَلَنْ أَكُونَ ظَهِيرًا لِلْمُجْرِمِينَ. Ya Allah, from what you had bestowed upon me, this physical strength, this materialistic strength, this authority, I will never allow it to be used as a backup to the oppressors and the sinners. But now he's in Musa alayhi salam is in a predicament. He killed someone. And obviously he killed someone from the Egyptians. These are the hierarchies of Egypt. And there's only one person that knows about that. Obviously, the entire city knows that someone has been murdered, but no one knows who really killed him except the Israeli opposition that was fighting against the Egyptian. He's the only one that knows that it's Musa that killed the Egyptian. And now, the Egyptian authority, Fir'aun's authority, are in a lookout to go and find out they're on the hunt. Who killed this Egyptian? He can't just go and kill someone and walk away. Especially if it's from Bani Israel that killed him. Nah. No one's going to accept that. So the word is around that someone has been murdered and the hunt is on its way, but no one knows except that Israeli that was fighting against him, that Musa alayhi salam protected him or helped him. فَأَصْبَحَ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ خَائِفًا يَتَرَقَّبْ. Musa alayhi salam stayed in the city scared, looking over his shoulder, concerned. Maybe the word will come out. Maybe this Israel will go and give me in. Maybe this, maybe that. يَتَرَقَّبْ. Looking around, takers. Concerned, obviously. Like, he knows that he did something wrong unintentionally. But obviously, if they get hold of him, he's going to pay the price. فَأَصْبَحَ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ خَائِفًا يَتَرَقَّبْ. فَإِذَا الَّذِي اسْتَنْصَرَهُ بِالْأَمْسِ يَسْتَصْرِخُ. SubhanAllah. Following day, he was walking in the middle of the day in that city. The same Israeli that got him into the trouble, he's fighting with another Egyptian. The guy's getting a big head. He thought yesterday he managed to overpower some Coptic, because you know that considered to be inferior to the Egyptians who are superior. Now Musa alayhi salam is walking in the city of the city that he was living in the middle of the day, and now the same person that fought against the Egyptian is fighting against another Egyptian. And when he saw Musa from far, what did he say? Musa! Musa, come and help me. Musa alayhi salam قال له موسى إنك لغوي مبين. والله only trouble comes out of you. You're a deceiver. Only trouble that comes out of you. So Musa alayhi salam came with good intention to split. He came to stop the fight. But when Musa told the Israeli that Musa helped the day before, he looked, because the Israeli knows, no one knows about Musa alayhi salam and who killed the Egyptian except him. And he saw in the eyes of Musa anger, he thought that Musa's coming to hit him. And he saw what Musa is able to do. So what did he say in front of the other Egyptian? Oh Musa, aturidu an taqtulani kama qatalta nafsan bil ams. In front of the other Egyptian that he was fighting with, oh Musa, are you coming to kill me the way you killed the Egyptian person yesterday? Who heard that? the other one. So what did the other one do? He let go of the fight and straight away ran to the authorities. Ran to the Egyptian authorities to inform them, you know, the murderer and the criminal that you're after, that you're trying to find, and you're on the hunt and searching for him that killed the Egyptian person yesterday, it's Musa, and I've got proof and evidence. So subhanAllah, the test is just escalating. Yes, it's a test, but keep something in mind, it's preparation. For what? For the big jump. It's part of the training process. فَلَمَّا أَرَادَ أَنْ يَبْتَشَ بِالَّذِي وَعَدُوا لَهُمَا قَالَ يَا مُوسَى أَتُرِيدُ أَنْ تَقْتُلَنِي كَمَا قَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا بِالْأَمْسِ إِنْ تُرِيدُ إِلَّا تَكُونَ جَبَّارًا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا تُرِيدُ أَنْ تَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُصْلِحِينَ. So the Israeli that Musa alayhi salam helped the day before, and now Musa alayhi salam is coming to help him again, but he got scared that Musa is going to come and hit him and bash him or maybe even kill him. He said, you know what, you want to come and kill me the way you killed someone yesterday, the Egyptian man? You Musa, with the strength that you've got, you are just such a bully. Okay, you just want to cause trouble and mischief on the face of this earth, and he don't want to be from amongst those who want to reconcile and help other people. So that's what happened. So the word went out. Who's that criminal and murderer or the suspect that we are looking for killing the Egyptian the day before? Musa. Proof and evidence. And it reached to the authorities. Now Fir'aun, obviously, he's looking forward to that moment to have something on Musa alayhi salam. He never liked him from the very beginning. But it's his wife that's always pressuring him. وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْعَى قَالَ يَا مُوسَى إِنَّ الْمَلَأَ يَأْتَمِنُونَ بِكَ لِيَقْتُلُوكَ. One of the Egyptian seniors, he's from the authority, he's from the palace, he's from the hierarchies of Egypt, he always liked Musa and he had good relationship with Musa. Now obviously he's hearing within that circle of authority that now that's it, you have to go and capture Musa. There's a warrant to capture Musa and bring him to justice. So he came and leaked that to Musa alayhi salam and told him, oh Musa, the Egyptian authority is after you. So what do you advise me to do? فَخْرُجْ. Get out of the city. Leave. Get out of here. Leave the entire city and the entire country before they catch you. Why? Because if they catch you, they're going to kill you. The rule, the law is, you kill someone, you get killed. فَخَرَجَ مِنْهَا خَائِفًا يَتَرَقَّبْ. So Musa alayhi salam fled the city and the country, scared, concerned, يَتَرَقَّبْ, on the lookout, watching, concerned. And then Musa alayhi salam leaves Egypt, depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We said he was a believer. قَالَ رَبِّ نَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. He said, oh Allah, save me from the tribe or the people of aggression. Ya Allah, save me from the criminals. Ya Allah, save me from the oppressors. So he left Egypt towards Palestine. And he went to the city of Shu'aib. What's the name of the city of Shu'aib? Madian. We spoke about Shu'aib 2 weeks ago. We said he lived in a city called Madian. But he arrived in the city of Madian, which is the city of Shu'aib, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed that city. And then they resettled in that city again. The city of Madian. وَلَمَّا وَرَدَ مَاءَ مَدْيَنَا وَجَدَ عَلَيْهِ أُمَّةً مِّنَ النَّاسِ يَسْقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the second phase of the story of Musa alayhi salam, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says that Musa alayhi salam went towards the city. That city is outside Egypt, which Fir'aun had no jurisdiction in. He had, if he wanted to invade it, he'll invade it. But Musa alayhi salam left the entire city and the entire empire and nation of Fir'aun to go and save himself. He needs to save himself. He needs to protect himself. So he left Egypt towards Palestine to the city of Madian, where another phase of the life of Musa alayhi salam starts in Madian. And that's another phase, which is another preparation for the prophecy. So amazing, so exciting, so beautiful, so inspirational. We'll talk about it next week. Jazakum Allah khair. Subhanaka Allah bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
Every Muslim dreams to be up in Jannah. It pies person's destiny. Inshallah, in Jannah.